Good afternoon and welcome to City Connections. City Connections is brought to you by the City of Great Falls. Our show provides a behind-the-scenes look into the inner workings of your local government. You will hear firsthand from dedicated professionals who provide the services and programs you depend on to live, work, and play in Great Falls. I am your host, Lenny Klasner, Communications Specialist for the City of Great Falls. Today I would like to welcome my guest, Great Falls Chief of Police, Jeff Newton. Welcome, Jeff. Thank you for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
Well, you've been in your role as the Chief of Police for a little over 6 months, but you're not new to the Great Falls Police Department. How long have you been with the city and what roles have you played during that time?
I've been fortunate to be with the city for a little over 22 years. May 3rd, 1999 is when I was hired. And since being at the PD, I've worked in all three bureaus, the sworn bureaus. I've been a patrol officer, support service and investigation throughout my career. Of course, patrol, I've been field training officer, police motorcycle operations instructor, firearms instructor. I've worked in the support services office as downtown officer and support in the special projects. And when I spent a year in investigations working narcotics and gangs. Once promoted, I've been a field supervisor, sergeant patrol, community policing sergeant, public, which was a combination of community policing sergeant and public information officer. So I had the privilege of meeting with media and doing media releases. Spent time as a patrol lieutenant, and then when I was promoted to captain in 2012, I was promoted again captain. I was captain of the patrol bureau. Then I moved over to captain of the support services bureau, and then moved over after that to the captain of investigations bureau. And then subsequently appointed chief of police this past April.
So which bureau did you not have your hand in?
My hand in every one of them, and which has been beneficial. And I try to explain that to our young officers, particularly those that want to move up the chain of command, be supervisors, because my term is the binder of knowledge. And particularly when you get up to this level or as you move up in the supervisory roles, the more information you have and the more experience you have, I feel that one makes you a better officer, both education-wise, training-wise, experience-wise. And particularly when you move into the supervisory administrative roles, you're at times making very complex decisions with a multitude of information. And the more well-rounded you are as an officer, and particularly as a supervisor, it helps you make better decisions because it helps you with not only state law, case law, department policy procedures, resources in the city, resources in the community. And if you're very narrowly focused in your career, your level of experience and your resource management is pretty limited. And the reason I emphasize that and frankly expect that out of the officers is because when you have people out there that are requiring police services, they want their officers to have an effective knowledge base because you're helping out our community members and you're also helping solve problems, effectively investigate crimes. And the more well-rounded you are as an individual and as an officer and as an administrator and as chief of police, I feel that provides better service to our community. So I'm a big advocate for being a well-rounded officer. So I always say, you know, you're kind of the jack of all trades, master of none, but that's okay. Because once you get pipelined into one specific niche in your career, I think you're missing out on that variety.
So you mentioned the different bureaus when you were talking about your experience, but can you just give an overview or name, at least name the
yes.
different bureaus within the police department?
Yes, the police department actually has five different bureaus. Three are sworn and two are civilian. And I've mentioned those. Obviously the backbone of the police department, the most visible would be our patrol bureau. Those are the officers in uniform and patrol cars responding to calls for service. Probably the next most visible would be our investigations bureau. Then our third is our support services bureau, and they're kind of behind the scenes. That's where our training environment comes out of. Our support services captain is responsible for overseeing volunteers, animal control officers, our training and hiring, our volunteer coordinator volunteers, and also currently it's Captain Otto. He's responsible for building maintenance and also working with our public works on vehicles, equipment, all of that. So the Support Services Bureau is behind the scenes, but very diverse in what they do. The other two bureaus are civilian, our Records Bureau, and also our Communications Bureau. So a lot of people may not realize that the Cascade County 911 Center is actually city employees and under my responsibility. So Director Karen Young would be one of my five bureau heads.
Wow, lots of responsibility in the police department. I don't think people understand kind of the full scope of all of what you do. You know, like you said, they think of investigation, they think of patrol, but there's a lot of other things that go on behind the scenes that they may not be well aware of.
That's correct. And when you look at the size of the department, we actually have 133 full-time employees. 89 of those are sworn side of the house, and 44 of those are civilian, which includes, again, our records staff, which includes our evidence folks, our billing engineer, our dispatch services, our animal control officers, our civilian employees, as are our accident investigators. So when you see our employees in the Ford pickups, half-ton pickups driving around town, those are actually our civilian accident investigators. They're not sworn officers. So even though they're wearing the blue uniform in a marked patrol vehicle, they're accident investigators. So that's why they won't respond to like calls for service that are non-traffic related.
What's the benefit to having the accident investigators?
It frees up time for the sworn officers. So the sworn officers can effectively enforce the criminal law aspect of it. Because accidents take, we deal with a lot of accidents in the city, particularly on 10th Avenue South. And for those that have driven 10th Avenue South at 5 o'clock on a Friday, it can get pretty congested. And when you see a crash and it ties up an intersection, our civilian accident investigators will deal with those to free up our sworn officers to do what they should be doing. So it's very beneficial, not only for our community, but also for our sworn side of the house.
So, you know, I know that crime in Great Falls is a concern to many residents. Mm-hmm. What can residents do to kind of help protect themselves?
You know, be a good witness. Obviously, when it comes to crime prevention, that's a multifaceted question. You know, pay attention to your surroundings. Unfortunately, I was a victim of a crime here a few years ago where I was a victim of a burglary, where my garage was, a bunch of items were stolen out of my garage because I'm a city resident. And as we get into that, you know, and shame on me, I left my door unlocked to my garage. So it's embarrassing to say, but you get in a hurry and you leave your garage door unlocked, which I should have locked it. Lock up your stuff. Well, I paid for that mistake. Well, my stuff is now locked up, right? So here I say, lock your stuff up, and I'm the one that left my drawer unlocked and subsequently was a victim of a crime. So lock your items up. Particularly now that we're going into fall season, hunting season, take your rifles out of your truck and go enjoy the outdoors. You know, exercise your Second Amendment rights. Do all that stuff that you have that right and that privilege to do. But take your gear out of your vehicles. Don't leave stuff in there that's easily accessible. You know, we talk about your property. We call it crime prevention through environmental design. Put up some additional lights. If you happen to have a security camera, make sure that that's where people would come through, either your front door, your garage, or your backyard. If you've got big bushes in your front yard, think about cutting those back so you have a better view of what's going on. Be a good reporter. You know, I hear, well, we didn't want to call the police because we didn't want to waste your time. We want you to call us. Case in point, when I talked about being a victim, I wish somebody would have said, why is that pickup crawling down the alleyway? That thing doesn't belong here. And if nothing else, jot it down, take down the license plate number, call, say, hey, we've got this suspicious vehicle in our neighborhood. And when I've been in front of neighborhood councils and spoken to groups, we all live in our neighborhood, know who should be there and who shouldn't, and what people stand out or what vehicle stands out, because we understand, okay, that's my neighbor Joe, or you know, that's Rachel's car, you know, just throwing out some names. But when you see cars come through your neighborhood or people, it should pique your attention and go, that doesn't belong in our neighborhood, and pay attention to that. Jot down notes, write it, report it. If you see somebody lurking around your alleyway, report that. It's amazing how suspicious person or vehicle complaints can actually break open other cases.
That's what I was going to ask. Yes. Why is it important to report this?
It's very important because sometimes investigations are like putting together a puzzle. And we'll have 98% of that puzzle solved, but we just need one or two more things. And it helps with our community members to provide that information, report it, and we go, that's the missing piece that I needed. Because that puts this suspect in this area, continue our investigation. And a lot of times we can tie those individuals into multiple crimes. So when somebody's committing crimes, say a burglary, that's not the first time they've ever done that. And more often than not, they're committing multiple crimes in our community. And it's important to have that information. So I would encourage people to call a reporter, report suspicious persons, report suspicious vehicles. If you're a victim of a crime, even if it's a misdemeanor crime, somebody stole something out of your yard, please report that because that may tie into something else.
How do people report crimes? I know calling 911 is for emergencies, but you know if there's other crimes that are more the misdemeanor or after the fact, how do they go about doing that?
Let's talk about the 911. 911 is for emergencies. I would encourage people, don't use 911. Unfortunately, you have folks that will call 911 just for a general information gathering, like, where is this located, or, what's the weather going to be today? When you're tying up those 911 lines for non-emergency calls, somebody else may need to call in 911. And sometimes, particularly on a major incident, those calls will start stacking, which brings up another point. If you're calling 911 or calling on an incident, 9 times out of 10 or 99 out of 100 times, there are other people calling. So if the dispatcher says, hold on a second, we're not trying to put you off. It's because they're fielding other calls in rapid succession. So just FYI on that. Dial a non-emergency number. If it is an emergency, absolutely dial 911. That's what it's there for. If it's a non-emergency number, dial the 727-7688, option 5. Or you can also do some online reports, and that is on our police website. You can go on there and do an online report. And sometimes people just need the case report number for their insurance purposes. But once those online reports go through, those are followed up on. If we can determine suspect information, that'll be assigned to an investigator, and we'll follow up on those. So it's not like the online reports just go into a hopper and is never looked at again. So we do look at those. But that's how you report crimes. Again, if it's an emergency, by all means, 911, that's what it's there for. If it's a non-emergency, I would ask that our folks use the non-emergency number so we free up that emergency number for those that truly are having an emergency.
Well, when you were talking about, being mindful of your neighborhood, mm-hmm. I know there's kind of a resurgence or focus on Neighborhood Watch, mm-hmm. Working with the neighborhood councils to be a liaison to help support that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good vision. What are the benefits to a Neighborhood Watch program?
Well, the benefits Neighborhood Watch program are, again, as I mentioned earlier, is each neighborhood, I would say, has its own little culture in the city and its own flavor. Meaning different areas essentially have some different concerns. When you get in neighborhoods with, a higher traffic flow, that's going to be a significant, there's going to be some significant challenges or concerns that maybe a neighborhood that doesn't have in the city such a high traffic flow that may not be their biggest concern. So that's just an example. Where it helps to get the Neighborhood Watch and neighborhood councils involved is we live in our own communities. So I want people to take ownership of their own communities and be part of the solution and say, how can we better our community and take ownership of that area? And to be very honest, we don't have the staffing to run point on all of those different neighborhoods because I may not live in your neighborhood. I have a general overview of what's going on there, but day-to-day activity, what's important to resident A may not be important to resident Y that lives on the other end of town. So that's why it's important to do that. And one of my visions I've been emphasizing, particularly with the Neighborhood Watch, is have the Neighborhood Watch ambassadors. Have someone that's willing and that is interested in being basically the spokesperson for the respective Neighborhood Council or Neighborhood Watch, and work through the council, Sandra Gwynn, to subsequently work with Lieutenant Munkers and Captain Otto. So it's basically the liaison between the Neighborhood Watch, Neighborhood Councils, and our department. So that's my vision for that program, and we're getting there. It's a new philosophy, but we're slowly getting there. And the neighborhood councils and neighborhood watches have been wonderful to work with.
Yeah, and the neighborhood councils, I know, are on board. So, you know, just more to come on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can get somebody on the show to talk about the developments with the Neighborhood Watch program once that gets, you know, to a place where we're ready to get it launched and going. Well, we're getting close to the end.
Okay.
I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And I want to thank people for tuning in to City Connections. I hope this behind-the-scenes look gave you insight into how your local government works. Please share what you learned today with your family, friends, and coworkers. You can always stay up to date on city events and programs by following us on Facebook at City of Great Falls or visit us online at greatfallsmt.net. Again, I'm your host, Lanny Klasner. Until next time, stay connected and informed.